Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Millennial Movie Mix. I'm one of your hosts, Kristen, and with me, as always, is
Justin,
Sarah,
and Ashley.
And today we are reviewing the movie The Rocker from 2008.
I don't know about you guys, but I was really excited about basically the whole cast.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
I had never seen this movie before. I'd heard of it, and I had no idea who was in it except for Rainn Wilson. And I too, when I saw who was going to be in the movie, I also really enjoyed the cast, the people who made up the movie.
Yeah, everybody who popped up along the way.
Yeah,
I also had not seen this movie before.
The first time I saw this movie, it was like right after I got married, and we were like, yeah, let's just have a movie day and watch something we haven't seen, and it was this movie. And we were like, oh my, because we were discovering like all these different comedies that we really liked, and everybody that we liked was in this movie. We were like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, like every few minutes. And it was just fun, like re-remembering, I don't know, recognizing all the people again. Just,
well, yeah, and then having that nice nostalgia connection for something like you two doing together that was special at that time.
Yeah.
So you start to build your own nostalgia together.
Yes.
And The Rocker is now part of that.
Rainn Wilson hanging out in his underwear all sweaty is definitely part of that.
Oh, goodness. Whoa.
I guess I have Debbie Downer feelings about Rainn Wilson in his underwear. Not that it's
him, I don't think. It's just that, like, the sweatiness was, like, off-putting.
I mean, no, I'm like, Hollywood and, like, our system has this thing about having funny-looking, or I think that they even, like, describe him in the write-up of the movie, like, flabby guy. Like, they have this thing about putting a little bit over, like, well, put some Will Ferrell in some tighty-whities and have him run around. Now put Rainn Wilson in some tidy whities and have him run around.
Oh, I mean, like, that is funny.
Put Chris Farley in some tidy whities and have him run around. Because fat, ugly guys are funny, even though Rainn Wilson's not fat. It's just the fact that it's some weird-looking guy in underwear.
He's got a normal body. Just like...
I don't understand. Like, you put tidy whities on someone who is attractive, and it doesn't seem as funny.
It's not made out to be as comical as.
Yeah, but what's the comedy? Like, we're supposed to like think he looks funny in those tidy whities, right?
Just like he's an adult child is kind of what I got from that.
Yeah, I'm not really down for that kind of, like, Will Ferrell comedy and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's not, to be honest, yeah, that's not my favorite cup of tea. We all know this.
So this was going into this and watching this Rainn Wilson movie, I sat down with eyes wide open and ears to accept, and I can't wait to talk about what the experience was during it.
Sarah, what were you especially excited about? Any of the actors?
Emma Stone.
Okay, yes. What do you remember her from? Because she was like becoming big when we were, you know, like getting into like middle teenage years.
Yeah, she was in what was it, Zombieland and Easy A and The Help and. Gosh, she's in a shit ton of stuff. She's in a House Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
See, I remember her from Superbad.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that too. And then
and she's in The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
In La La Land.
And Maniac, which was a really fun one on Netflix.
Yeah.
That's one of her more recent things with Jonah Hill.
Ooh, have you guys seen Cruella?
Not yet.
Oh my god, fucking watch it!
No, but yeah, okay. It popped up on Disney Plus. Yeah, she's in that. So she has blown up since this movie.
Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah.
And then what else do you guys know Rainn Wilson from?
The Office. And I really enjoyed him in House of a Thousand Corpses.
And he was in Galaxy Quest, which we reviewed.
Yeah, yeah.
And Juno. And most recently, I really enjoyed him in Utopia.
Oh my God. He was in Juno.
Sci-fi, conspiracy, mystery, gory, really good show on Amazon.
Okay. I have to add it to the list of countless hours of television that,
that must be watched. Even as new television is created.
In this whole movie, the person who stood out to me was Christina Applegate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She is millennial royalty.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
From her stint on Married with Children. But I enjoy Christina Applegate more in a movie called The Sweetest Thing.
Okay.
That she stars with Cameron Diaz in. Probably no one's heard of it. It's just this dumb comedy. But it's so, so funny.
I remember her from Anchorman.
Yes. Yeah, of course. And Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yes.
So I was glad that she was in this movie, but she was not well used in this movie.
Yeah.
But I liked her.
I liked her feistiness in this movie.
Yeah.
She took no shit from nobody.
And then, of course, Jane Lynch.
Yeah.
I like when Jane Lynch popped up in the film. And, like, there are so many other people who I recognize and have been in other films, other TV shows. It was a very packed cast. I mean, you had Olaf in this movie.
Right.
There was
Bear Claw,
yeah.
Yes, Bear Claw. What did you guys think of Bradley Cooper, Will Arnett, and Fred Armisen in full rocker glam?
I thought it worked really well in the beginning, you know, and then when they got older, it was like it was what it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
but I thought they looked really good in the beginning. Like even they like did. Fred Armisen was made to look like in like a believable rocker.
Yeah, he's actually a really talented musician.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's a really talented guy.
Yeah, he's been in several bands. He did a tour with Tenacious D. He does stuff on his own. I think almost everybody but Bradley Cooper learned an instrument to like perform, and then they added audio of somebody else in later.
Okay.
So like Josh Gad learned piano, Emma learned bass, and then Teddy, I don't know if it's Giger or Geiger, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Already a musician.
Is a musician, recording artist.
Mm-hmm. Has now transitioned to being a woman.
Yes.
And has write songs for Shawn Mendes. Is like Grammy nominated songwriter.
And you can find this soundtrack in all of the bands, like all of ADD's music on Teddy's Spotify.
Oh.
Yeah, I like movies that have bands within bands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I like movies that have like bands within the movie. You know, like when you have like Mark Wahlberg and Rockstar, you know. Yeah. We're going to hopefully we can do one of my favorite I say newer films, but it's probably 10 years old now. You guys ever heard of a movie called Dope?
No.
No.
Oh, we're going to watch Dope.
Yeah.
So they've got a really, really awesome band in that movie. I like when they have songs that are made for movies, or they cover songs in movies,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, to make it a little, you know, to stand out to you more. So like throughout this movie, what they have, Great Escape, they cover Peter Gabriel's Your Eyes.
Yeah. I really liked that one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did like the music that came out of the movie.
Oh, for
and
sure.
I like the idea of a band called ADD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's one point in time in the movie where the billboard just calls them AD.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a total. Like, so I like that.
Getting no respect.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to the guy who drove the bus for them. They called him Gator.
Yes.
This is Howard Hesseman. And when I was growing up, I used to watch this show at my grandparents' house. And it was called WKRP in Cincinnati. Have you guys ever heard of it?
No.
All right. So it was a TV show about a radio station. This was on from like 1970 something to like early 1980s. And he played a disc jockey named Dr. Fever, Johnny Fever.
Okay.
And he was just like an outrageous personality on that TV show. And so it's just funny that like WKRP in Cincinnati, you know, he was, you know, rock radio station, and then he's driving the bus for the rocker, the band in this movie, and we're doing Summer of Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. I thought that it'd just be amiss if we didn't mention that Dr. Johnny Fever is in this movie. Even though who knows if anyone in our audience would even know WKRP in Cincinnati.
I know, I've heard of it, but I don't even know. Like, I never watched it.
See, I'm 37. It's because I was exposed to all kinds of things from my family members.
Yes, you were.
I watched tons of TV and movies and music. We're very cultured.
Yes.
It was very censored. I don't know if you guys watch Atypical, but the kid that auditioned to be the drummer, that Rain's character called Moby Dick, that's Keir Gilchrist from he does such a good job in from that show,
United States of Tara.
Yeah,
he's a son in that movie.
Show
in that show, he's a son in that show.
I'm trying to think who else excited me. Oh, I completely forgot about John Glazer, who I think he was one of the agents. He's the voice of Gyro in Bob's Burgers, and he's also the sleazy board member in Parks and Rec.
I'm not sure who that person is. They didn't excite me. Didn't get an excited tingle.
A lot of these people were in, like, Last Man on Earth, 30 Rock, Portlandia. I feel like almost everybody was.
Like Jane Krakowski. Yeah, she's very talented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Jason Sudeikis.
I can't tell you what he's in, but I know that name, SNL.
Yeah, he's in Booksmart, SNL, Last Man on Earth, Portlandia, 30 Rock, and then he was the really annoying manager.
I don't remember him on 30 Rock. Was he a boyfriend?
Yeah, he was a boyfriend. He was a nice one.
Okay, so before we can talk about the movie, we kind of talked about nostalgia a little bit. Sarah, I don't know if you've seen this movie before.
I've seen it one time before. I don't remember when, and the only thing that I really remembered was him running to chase after the car.
Okay.
That was something that stuck in my head. And then, I feel like it was the quote, "Smiling is for the weak." I remember that.
That's so fitting for you.
And Kristen, you've never seen this.
No, I had never seen it before.
Okay, so before we can talk about the actual film, we got to talk about triggers.
Yeah.
Ah.
So we've got some triggers. Not as many as some movies that we've done, but more than others. We've got some. Rock and roll, betrayal, alcohol use, violence, vomit, bleh. I don't know. Some people might not be okay with ADD being the name, but like I don't, yeah, there was sneaking off with adults, jokes about suicide, indecent exposure, accidentally being naked on a video chat. People might be able to relate to that after this last year we've had on Zoom. Toxic masculinity, being arrested, absent parents, getting your hair messed up by someone who doesn't know what they're doing, low-waisted jeans, and objectifying women.
Okay. So any of those things could have popped up while you were watching and kind of pissed you off.
Mm-hmm.
Or affected you in some way. All right. I mean, so we'll see how, what from what we talk about. Hang on, let me try that again. All right, so we'll see how those triggers pop up and how we talk about the film. But let's just dive right into The Rocker.
In 1986, Vesuvius, a rock band from Cleveland, Ohio, performs at a local theater. After the show, their manager informs them that a record company is interested in signing them, but only if they replace drummer Robert Fish Fishman with the president of the record company's nephew. At first, the band refuses, as they have been together since high school and agree that Fish is the heart and soul of their band. But when their manager tells them they would get to tour as the opening act for Whitesnake, the band relents and drives away in their van without Fish.
Oh, yeah. Whitesnake.
Yeah, Whitesnake back in the day.
That's the video. They had the video with Tawny Katane.
Glam rock royalty.
Whitesnake was the... I guess, I mean, it was a band. I didn't know they were extremely popular.
Oh, yeah, they're a real band. People make fun of them all the time.
No, I know that they're a real band. The Is This Love? Here I Go Again.
Mm-hmm. You would know them if you heard them, for sure.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't think of the name of the song that Tawny Katane's in the music video for, but I think it's a Whitesnake music video. Or no, or I might be also thinking about Let Me Feel My Oats from Drag Race.
Maybe.
Bianca saying, what are you in a Drag Race? What are you in a Whitesnake music video?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
I'm getting everything mixed up. Summertime, all of this intake of media is just like stewing in my brain.
Yeah, I feel that. And I'm really excited to finally have season 7 of Drag Race on Hulu.
I have, we've seen that one a couple times. I was really excited when this movie started and like Vesuvius was the name. I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah.
I liked the look of everybody. Of course, you know, you have all of these people and then you have Rainn Wilson on the drums. And I knew, okay, they're going to cut him out in some way. I kind of felt where the plot was going, but I don't know why, and I'm the minority here. I don't know why they fucking did the Terminator chase scene.
No, you're. I don't know that you're in the minority, because I certainly, like, I thought that was odd. And, like, not spoiler, but not spoiler, but it doesn't happen any other time in the movie. So, like, he's having, like, basically superpowers for, like, this 1 minute of the movie. And it was kind of odd. It was an odd thing. It took me out of it.
Yeah, it was strange. It didn't fit.
And then it set up for like a different, like I thought the movie was going to go a different way from that scene. And then it just acted like normal movie. Like,
yeah.
See, that shit made me laugh.
It made you laugh?
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck's going on?
Well, I mean, I was what the fuck is going on? And then he's like, I was going 60 back there. And I was like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. Like, are these guys high? Like, is that what's supposed to be happening? Like, what's going on?
And because that would have been funny if they would have cut to the outside perspective and shown that they were driving really slowly.
Yeah.
And he was going normal speed. That would have been hilarious.
It would have been. Yeah, I just thought it was just odd.
Or if they would have kept up where he had, like, this, like, superhuman Ace Ventura-type, like, dumb luck.
Like, musician ability that's, like, kind of weird musician superpower.
But it was just so fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
And just immediately, yeah. I was just, what?
Just that. The gods of rock knew he had been betrayed and imbued him with all of their might. So that he
to get thrown off the van.
It's just weird because he's like, he's so goofy and like clumsy for a lot of the movie, but he he was able to pierce the roof of a van with wooden drumsticks.
I thought that was funny too.
I was like, what the fuck? And just like the fact that the band inside was so freaked out about it, like they were knives. I was like, why are you so afraid of these? You know?
I am just like, I'm gagged. I think it's so funny that you guys found it so funny.
Yeah, I am feeling the same way.
It's the older versus the younger millennial difference, I think.
Maybe, for sure. Maybe it is. I
really didn't find any humor in it at all. I mean, we grew up with a lot of movies that were like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we grew up with dumb movies, too.
Yeah, we did, too. But yeah, I just thought this was, like, the movie was going so well for, like, I knew I was going in expecting, you know, one of these movies like that, like I said, are not like the things that I quite prefer.
Yeah, I thought
so.
The same
I knew
thing.
I was going in to, and then I was like, oh, this isn't so bad. I'm kind of getting into this. And then this scene happened, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
And just affirmed for me why I never watched it before.
Yes.
Did this scene like just ruin it for you?
It ruined this, yeah.
Well, okay.
It didn't ruin it, but it, like, it really was, like...
I was really like, what the fuck is this for? But I'm still in it. I'm still like, okay.
Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna dismiss this and just keep watching.
And so it didn't ruin it.
Yeah, it didn't ruin it, but I was like, why the fuck did they do that? Seriously. Like, it actually kind of angered me a little bit. Like, after I watched the movie, I was like, why? Because it never came up again. They're just like, here's this random thing that happened.
Like, I understand, like, you have your movies that are fantasy, and you have, like, you have blending all of the time. I just feel like sometimes it doesn't work. And, like, I'm watching this movie, and I know it's a movie and that it's fiction, but I don't want such outlandishness.
Here's my hypothesis. Drummers have like calves of steel.
No.
Very strong legs. Those calves of steel propelled him forward at whatever speed the van was going, whether it was actually 60 miles an hour or not. But like, I don't know. It didn't happen the second time.
They were just being ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because like later on, his second band will do something that upsets him. And this doesn't really happen. He just kind of flops off stage and gets hurt.
Yeah, because they were just doing it as some sort of shtick to be funny. I mean, it's, yeah, I...
Yeah, like, for you and I, this moment didn't work. For them, obviously, it did.
Yeah, it did. It was just something that...
For me, it just didn't work.
No.
There were some funny behind the scenes, or, like, some funny bloopers. I couldn't find any, like, behind the scenes stuff. I don't have the DVD. But, like, Rainn Wilson was just doing silly shit on the treadmill. He's really good at physical comedy. I really enjoy the physical comedy he does on The Office.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was like doing some weird just sideways galloping or something.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that they had a lot of fun cracking up the movie. And I'm sure the guys in the van had a good time doing the scene. Like, I would have thought in that moment, I would have felt ridiculous. Like, but then, like, they're just there doing whatever. I just really thought, I'm trying to give this movie a chance. And this movie just kept doing things that just, like...
We're like, wah.
Yeah, it's like it's an inflatable in the ocean and it kept stabbing itself.
Yeah.
And this was the first blow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I giggled.
I did too. It's okay, Ashley. We're in the same boat.
Okay.
And all the people wrote it and they filmed it. Nobody there thought it was strange.
Yeah, everybody thought that was a good gag. Yeah.
I think it's the fact that it is so strange and makes no sense. And it's just like, why is this happening? And it happens.
Right.
I don't know. That's why I think I could have shaken it off. I did shake this off. I was like, that was strange, but it's a throwback to Terminator 2. Okay.
20 years later, Vesuvius remains an immensely successful band while Fish is living a normal life.
Matt Gadman, Fish's high school-aged nephew, plays keyboard in an alternative rock band called ADD, along with his friends Curtis Powell and Amelia Stone. The band is scheduled to play their school's prom, but the gig is in jeopardy when their drummer gets suspended from school. Matt convinces the others to allow Fish to fill in. The concert goes well at first, as Fish is still a natural talent on drums, in spite of not playing for 20 years, but he ruins the gig when he gets carried away and launches into an impromptu drum solo during a ballad. However, Fish is so excited by Curtis's songs and the chance to play again that he convinces them to let him join the band if he can deliver another gig.
Yeah. I don't know. We get to see Aziz Ansari playing Aziz, the tech guy. Or the phone guy. I don't really know what their job was, but it was not a fun one, apparently.
I didn't like that he was being made fun of. I didn't like that they left him there. Like,
no.
But, like, his life is pathetic. And it's then, like, sad. They make him. Like, so, they even, like, one, I think I don't think that they're trying to make him look bad with his hair. I mean, even later, you have Christina Applegate, who was like, I like your hair. But they make him cut it later. Like,
that's like the classic. I was like,
that's fine. Dude, rock that's the ponytail. Like
yeah. And that's like the classic rock and roll. Your hair's too long. You can't be taken seriously if you're a musician with long hair. And suddenly you cut it and you're ready to be, like, ready for the world. That I feel like that was a huge, like, hair was a huge symbol back in like the big rock and roll days, and I think it still is today. But yeah, I think that he was just the rock and roll guy who didn't want to give up his rock and roll life, and his hair was the last thing he like had from that.
But like, I don't see, that's the thing, like, he's not just a guy who didn't want to give up his rock and roll life. It was literally ripped out from under him, and they kept doing things like, say, like, he came up with the name of the band. He wrote a song and did whatever. And I kept waiting the entire movie for something legally right to happen to fix everything. And it didn't. It's like not some guy who just can't shake a dream. It's some guy who was literally like right there outside the hottest club and somebody closed the door and called the cops on him. And now he's like walking around and like his sister makes fun of him. Only his brother-in-law is like really like there for him. But then the movie itself, like, goddamn, tell me why why do they have the puke thing?
Oh.
The what?
Oh, he pukes and puts it in his fucking pocket?
Yeah, that was one thing that I kind of
why?
Like, that took me out.
That was really gross.
Why?
There's a lot of different ways to do like pre-show jitters, but that was probably the weirdest pre-show anxiety like thing I've seen on TV.
The movie was all over the place.
Yeah. Like they were trying to hit like every type of gag they could. And I have to say, like, bodily function humor is like my very least favorite type of humor.
Oh yeah.
So all of the like bodily function stuff was just like ugh, for me.
I just, and how am I supposed to go with this character now? That's not fucking realistic. No one vomits and then puts it in their pocket.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you'd be really surprised.
Legally, I can't disclose a lot, but I have seen, I have seen things.
Okay, so the person who vomits and puts it in their pocket, I'm now supposed to root for the rest of the movie, because that's just a little, what, a picadillo? That's just a little idiosyncrasy? A little something that they do that is part of them as a human being that I need to respect.
I don't think that it was supposed to be like, oh, this is his longstanding good luck charm. I just think he like realized what he did and was embarrassed, and everyone
thought you run away and wash your hand in the bathroom.
Yeah, for real.
Like, they're fucking using him as a laughing, like, we're supposed to feel sorry for him in one moment, and then he's bringing it upon himself in another, and then he's a goddamn joke in another scene, and then take him seriously in this scene. Like,
yeah, all over the place.
All over the place. And then you throw in, so now it is like, does the beginning of the van part take me out? Yes, but it doesn't ruin it. But then does your main character puke and then put it in their fucking pocket? Yes. Yes, the main character does. And okay.
And then he nails that show.
He doesn't really, though.
For the first part.
Yeah. Well, he got carried away. That was the first time he'd performed in front of people since the rug got ripped out from under him.
Also, right. So unrealistic. Like, he's professional. He's a fucking grown-ass adult. You mean to tell me that you don't realize you're on stage during the middle of a show and you don't control yourself? Again, it's the fucking gag of the movie. Like it's, we're being set up to look at him like he's a buffoon in one second and then not in another, just so the movie can keep going.
Wait, I mean, this is a movie where you're supposed to take these things with a grain of salt.
And but, that's like, the, yeah, for me, exactly.
For me, it was asking for too much in some of these instances, but there are some people who do enjoy this kind of thing. And, you know, like, you just have to kind of like, be like, okay, that's where this movie is going. Let's just roll with it.
Well, I kept watching it.
Well, yeah, I kept watching it.
But I couldn't take it seriously. It was not real anymore when any fucking thing like this was going to happen. So nothing mattered. Nothing was authentic. No character connection was real. If none of the characters were consistent in, and especially like your lead character.
The thing is, my thought was, why did he have to ruin prom? It wasn't necessary because he could have played prom and they could have still been like, well, that doesn't mean that you're in the band. So how about if you, you know, if you get us another gig, you're in the band. Like, they didn't need to have him ruin prom. And it felt like it was just more like excessive, like, I don't know, embarrassment of this character or shaming of this character.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
More running through
it's
the
so
mud.
Hard to describe because it is all over the place.
They did have some pretty shit other options for drummers. So I don't know. They probably felt like they actually had the chance at a really, really talented person to be in their band. And they were just like, well, I guess if you can do this thing, like if you can actually help us be a band, then you can be in the band.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, yes. And I just think that, because they could have done that anyways, the whole prom thing, like, ruining it was unnecessary.
I'm trying to go through my notes here, and they play the prom, and then I have the songs written down, and they did make a shout-out to the band The Killers, who I really like.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of The Killers before.
Yeah.
Mr. Brightside. Yeah. I used to work at a Best Buy, and that was really hot then, so it played all of the time on... But then I have something else where I think it is where Matt sneezes on someone.
Yeah, I wrote that down too.
Yes, on Amelia.
On Amelia.
And he's like, no, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
He's a weird sleeper.
Did you sneeze on me? He's like, no.
And I just thought stuff like that was really weird. Like,
it is.
Because here's, I think this is why this pisses me off so much. Is because this movie could have been really good.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I agree. I think that's exactly how I feel. I didn't think about it until you just said it, but yes, like, just tweaking a few little things, I would have been like, man, this movie is a really good movie.
The cast was there. They just didn't need to do some of this stupid shit or make some of the dumb decisions that they did or, like, treat some of the characters the way they did. I mean, I guess this movie could have been better if it was different. And I guess and this is the moment when I came to that realization. So that's when we're coming to the realization on the podcast. I mean, when he fucking put puke in his goddamn pocket, I mean, come on, listeners, come on.
I mean, yeah, for me, that was it, yeah.
Also,
that's enjoyable.
This has ever been you. I hope that you're okay.
If you've ever put puke in your pocket and then went on to go play drums at a prom that you then ruined because you didn't have self-control enough to stop playing the drums, even though that's kind of, I don't know if that's out of character with your character or in character with your character because your character's inconsistent. So if that's you, don't be triggered. Just talking. But I do like, I don't know when they, are they still at the prom?
No.
I'm going through my notes here. I like the song Bitter.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yes.
Okay, so
we probably need to move on.
Yeah, this is he ruins prom, and then he convinces him to let him join a band if he can deliver another gig. So yeah, I need to go on now. After repeated failed attempts, Fish finally succeeds in securing a gig at a club in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Because the other members are all minors, they have to sneak out to the gig but are apprehended in the process. After Fish is forced to rent the basement of his favorite Chinese restaurant, the band invents a new way to practice via four-way iChat. To the dismay of his bandmates, Fish performs in the nude to try and stay cool. The video of the practice quickly goes viral under the title of the Naked Drummer Band.
I thought this was clever. I mean, it's 2008, so things are kind of viral. You don't really have a lot of that video chatting stuff.
This was a big deal. This was the thing that was supposed to set Matt up as, like, the tech nerd. Like, four-way video call was just not a thing that people did in 2008.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so strange. Yeah.
It is so strange to think about how different it is now.
And now we're conducting classes and meetings and business with, you know, 30-plus people.
So then, you know you're video chatting with people. Why are you naked?
I don't think he quite understood how it worked. Because this was, like, the first time that they were doing this. And I don't think he would have done it if he had known that high schoolers and the public would have seen this.
Well, yeah, he wouldn't have.
No. Because, yeah, like, it's his nephew. It's just
another silly gag that you're...
a silly gag and ha-ha, it was funny. But then, how does it go to everybody?
The little sister gets on their webcam or whatever and finds it.
The little sister's fucking mean.
Yeah, she is.
She treats the brother horribly. Makes a comment about how he's never going to be the cute one or whatever.
Yeah, she'll still be the cute one.
Yeah. And then does she send this link out to everyone?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
She sends it to people at her school and it just kind of spirals from there. We see the kids in the classroom looking at it and Curtis's mom sees it and she's like, oh no. And, like, it just, I feel like that kind of carried over well to this time right now. Because, like, how many videos have we seen, like, in the news or on the internet where people were having a Zoom meeting and they decided to take a shit and didn't think anybody could see them?
Yeah.
Or, like, people doing other obscene things on Zoom because they didn't know.
Right.
Thinking that you turned off the camera and you did not.
Yeah.
And hilarity ensues. Yeah, it's totally relevant in this COVID and post-COVID time.
Yes.
So maybe ahead of its time here for the viral sensation and things like that. But still funny in for what it is and a clever way to get them known.
Yes.
I'm not quite mad at this moment. That's why I wish the other moments didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. The moment that I think I was most mad about was Fish sneaking the kids out of town because he is an adult and they're in high school and that's just super sketchy no matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was just taking them out to go play in the band. I mean, anything could have happened when they could have gotten hurt. And that would have been a really bad situation like that. There is, like, Fish does get a lot of crap throughout this movie for simply being old and older. And, like, this thing that, like, he's instantly creepy because he's an old guy hanging out with these young people. And I think it's totally different than, like, we just reviewed Wooderson in Almost Famous, the All Right, All Right, All Right. But I feel like they kind of treat Fish like that. And Fish is just like an old nerd, geeky, socially inadequate dude.
Right.
And then, yeah, he's not thinking and he takes them. He's not
predatory.
He's not predatory. Like, no, Wooderson.
No.
But it is a dumb decision to take them out in the van. And
against their parents. Against not, the, well, without their parents knowing.
Yeah, taking them to a different state. I mean, that is kidnapping across, like, state lines.
Yeah. And then his, you know, sister called the police, which I was like, okay, probably a rational move here.
Well, no, that's what I'm upset about, too. Like, so I guess, is this a consistent character action? I feel like the sister started off okay. And then by the end of her scenes, she's being really mean. And then the next time you see her, she called. So I feel like by the first time you see her, she's being nice. By the end of her scenes, she's being really mean. Mm-hmm. And the next time you see her, she's called the cops, knowing that he's the one who took the van.
Yeah.
Well, she called the cops on her brother.
She needed her car for work.
What has he done in the past that has shown him to be such a... Like, why would she need to call the cops on him? And not just think, man, maybe he'll bring this van back. But, like, it's been gone for a couple hours. I'll call the cops.
Like, you'd think was that he would have, you know, just run everywhere.
So, again, it's just a plot point to make it so that they don't get to that first show and the movie continues on.
Right.
And then the sneeze on the face thing.
So, I...
When Curtis and Amelia are getting, like, you know, platonically cuddling in the back seat, which I think is great. Or sorry, not Curtis, Matt and Amelia just platonically cuddling in the back seat, and then he sneezes on her. I don't know. I didn't know
that they were cuddling. I thought they were all just laying down. Like, they were cuddling?
I don't know. It's like their heads were on each other. Is that cuddling?
I don't know. I thought they were just like laying next.
I thought they were just sleeping against each other, but. I don't know.
Platonic cuddle. I mean, that it might make sense. I mean, she platonically kisses him later to help.
It's a cuddle.
I remember
when Sarah and our friend Casey and I would have sleepovers and, like, just share the bed because we all had, like, big beds. And then we'd wake up the next morning and talk about the weird shit we, like, did in our sleep.
Yeah, because you guys did weird shit in your sleep.
Uh-huh. And I would always sleep in the middle.
I hate sleeping in the middle. I can't do it.
You and Casey both hated sleeping in the middle. And so I'd get, like, double the weirdness. And I think I almost shoved you out of bed a couple times.
You've pushed me out of bed several times.
I'm sure that's something funny that happens when bands get to travel together. And they're all caught in such closed quarters that they have to deal with everybody's...
The tour bus.
Yeah. Everyone's sleep farting and drooling and
sleeping with their eyes open.
Oh my god. Anybody else? I wrote down a note that said a devil horn lock.
Oh yeah, where they put their hands together.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Was that a handshake?
Yeah.
I had never seen that before, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, I wrote that down. I don't know.
The cool people did it.
The cool people.
Yeah.
I do. We're talking about, so Jane Lynch played the sister, but the whole time we've got her husband is played by Jeff Garland, and he is Murray Goldberg from the Goldbergs. He's also the uncle in Wizards of Waverly Place. But he is like one of Fish's like number one fans. Like, this guy understands what Fish has gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when the cops get called, like, Stan is still like, you know, I'm sorry. Or, like, he wants to, like, he's still on Fish's side. Yeah, and I really liked that, this character. The
relationship. Yeah, Yeah.
I like that character in the movie.
He's so supportive. And he's like, man, imagine if my life was like that. Like, yeah. He's tired of his soul being crushed by capitalism, and I just think that he likes to live vicariously through Fish.
So he gets, and I like that as the movie goes on, he still stays that same positive note. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even when he gets Fish a job,
and he's at his own company. He's like, yeah.
Like, yeah, I know. Like, yeah.
The band is signed to a recording contract by the same label as Vesuvius and are sent on a Midwest tour. However, Fish commits stereotypical acts despite the physical costs on his body, and he vandalizes a hotel room, causing the band to be apprehended again. After securing ADD's release, Kim, Curtis's mother, promises the other parents that she will stay for the remainder of the tour so their kids won't be influenced by Fish's antics.
I felt like an old person when I laughed when the new manager made the joke and called him Norm from Cheers.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't seen Cheers.
Yeah, I noticed you laughed.
Because I loved Cheers. Mm-hmm. You guys know what Cheers is?
No.
A show.
A TV show with Ted Danson about he owns the bar. It's George Wendt, and you got John Ratzenberger.
They don't know who those people are.
John Ratzenberger is the voice in Toy Story. He plays, is he the pig?
I can't remember.
I can't remember. Anyway, so Cheers is a classic show. A long-running show, back when shows didn't run for so long. And so he called him Norm from Cheers, and I kind of cackle-died on that. I liked it. We're going to be this is the summer of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and we've got a few more rock and roll movies to cover. But there's a line in this film where Fish yells, "I'm a golden fish."
Yeah.
And I just want us to remember that for the future. He's on top of a roof screaming, "I'm a golden fish."
Drunk as a skunk. Oh my gosh. Those were some. I feel like the kids did okay in the beginning. But then, like, as the parties came to their rooms, it got crazy. I thought it was really sweet that they were like, oh, first fans, first groupies. Like,
yes, I was going to say that too. I liked all the little, like, it was so innocent, kind of like, because Fish never really got to have that experience. So that's why he's doing all these silly things.
Right.
Like, I thought that was really cute that he's like, first this, first that.
I think it also shows the difference between, I think, what stars and recording artists are like today versus then.
Right.
Because, like, you're not having, you know, One Direction was not out there trashing hotel rooms. I mean, you didn't even, I know they're not, like, big rock stars. Like, Maroon 5 is not out there.
No, yeah, that's not like...
throwing TVs out. You don't have Kiss doing that anymore when they're touring. It's like a dead culture.
Because that's not a respectable way to act anymore.
Yeah.
No, that's the asshole thing to do, is destroy something that someone who's probably making minimum wage or less is going to have to clean up later.
Yeah. So you have these younger... That's what I like... It's just totally random. You hear a lot of talk now about, like, the difference between saying like, "no problem" versus "you're welcome."
Oh yes. My gosh. Yeah.
When people talk to each other. And then you see, like, the kids in this movie are like, "why are you doing these things? Stop being like this."
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone will be quick to say, like, "oh, younger generations are so rude." And no, it's like we've passed on a sensibility in how to act, and they really show Amelia and Curtis and Matt as very mature, like, well thought out characters, I guess, well portrayed characters.
Yeah.
Versus the insanity and shit show that is Fish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point of, like, I'm so annoyed and done with Rainn Wilson and the writers and Fish, like, in this whole fucking thing.
Yeah. I want Fish to be successful, and I want all of them to be successful and happy. That's kind of where I'm at. I don't know. I remember being the little kid that I thought I was going to be in a band and be really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I just feel like I could kind of get in his shoes just a little bit, like, oh yeah.
And I love that. If they didn't make him such a fucking buffoon.
Yeah.
And, like, the sweat, I get that you sweat when you play the fucking drums, but you're playing it for a gross effect.
Oh, that sweaty shirt and the sticky sound.
Yeah.
And, like, hugging everyone and sweating everyone like that. doing this to your main character?
Yeah. Like doing unlikable things for the character you're supposed to like. Yeah, that's yeah.
And like just because we're supposed to have the, because like people do sweat and we should, like, I guess if we're snowflakes here, we should be normalizing sweating and what people do when that happens. Like you would come off stage, change your shirt, dry off, like the normal thing. But then, like, we're playing it for, oh, it's funny if someone doesn't act like that. If someone sweats a lot, comes and hugs you, that's really fucking gross. And it is. And now we're going to have it be really fucking gross to this main character who we're supposed to feel sorry for, who we're supposed to want good things from. But it keeps, like, I guess it's not invalidating the character. It's not depreciating the character. It's degrading the character.
Yeah, but it's making it harder for you to sympathize with the character when you're pulled both ways.
Because you're right, Ashley. Like, we do have the dreams of being a rocker, but I'm not going to be a dumbass rocker. And he's a dumbass rocker. And he shouldn't be. He came up with Vesuvius. He wrote the fucking song that made them famous. He named the song that made them famous. He can play the drums really well.
What is the difference between him and the Rage Cage and Jables in Tenacious D? Like, I was trying to figure out.
Oh, like, I don't, like, you want to ask me that question?
Yeah, just like you guys, like all of you guys, just because, like, I don't know, I feel like they did equally weird things, maybe not equally, like, body weird things.
I think that's, like, a big thing. I'm not sure that they degraded the characters in Tenacious D, like running through the mud.
Yeah.
Like your characters asking us to hold on,
like,
to.
They didn't make the characters look bad. Like Kyle looked bad for a split second because he was like trying to feel good about himself and, like, you know,
lying about where the money was coming from.
Right.
And like the wig.
Mm-hmm.
And like they were
being self-conscious and shame.
I mean, I think those are things that people would actually do. People wear wigs and toupees. People, they do, like, white lie to feel better about themselves or to hide hurts or flaws or whatever.
But also, I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
Go ahead.
No, because you were leading somewhere.
Well, I just mean, I think that's the difference because those are things that somebody would do. Or you talked about the sweat. Like, if you were drenched in sweat, you would not hug somebody to the point that you were soaking their shirt. I mean, I think that very, very, very few people would ever do that, especially someone who would be, like, touring on stage and stuff like that.
I don't think we want to open the door to compare the rocker to Tenacious D.
I think the only thing, other thing I'll say, I just think that where they're similar is, like, all of them were set up to be, I don't know, they were made to be seen as, like, embarrassing themselves and they don't know it. And just seeing how they get, I think they get out of it in different ways.
Maybe, like, saying that then the characters in Tenacious D were supposed to be embarrassing, and then I can maybe get on board with that. I just,
because they weren't good at
the
beginning.
Really great songs in Tenacious D. I mean, that's a lot. Jack Black is very charismatic, more so than Rainn Wilson is charismatic. And just the whole story in Tenacious D that we are wrapped up in from the start of this journey that you're on, and Meatloaf, and you got Dio at you. It's set up completely differently, I think, than The Rocker. And so I don't think that when we're like, what's the difference between Rainn Wilson and The Rocker and the other two? The other two are talented and awesome to watch.
He's talented, though. He's gotten two bands to, like, stardom.
What, I think...
Shown.
Rainn Wilson is talented, for sure.
Yes.
I think that the way that this script was written was a misuse of that talent.
They tried to make him too much like Will Ferrell.
Yeah, it was. They were trying to do too many different comedic gags, and I think it was to the detriment of this movie and the character.
And when did School of Rock come out? Before or after this?
Before.
Because Jack Black, I'm sure, did it better.
Yeah.
I really like School of Rock.
Me too.
Me too.
And I just, that's why I'm so irritated at this movie, because
it could have been better.
It could have been better.
Yeah.
I like the songs like, they used, but they could have even used better songs. I'm surprised this didn't have a better soundtrack.
I Want to Rock in one of the transitions, and that always makes me think of SpongeBob Goofy Goober Rock.
Rock.
I'm a Goofy Goober. I know there was something else I was going to say. Oh yeah, and this is interesting because like you're talking about the writing and like the use of talent, and this was like, this came out in the middle of the season 5 of The Office, which is like the most beloved season. So like Rainn Wilson was doing really well with that. Mm-hmm. Has some great moments in that season, and I love him in that show. I love him in so many other things. So it's just like a lot of people didn't like this movie. The critics hated it. They were like, why are films from The Office stars bad? I don't know. I had fun watching this anyway.
As I'm watching this section, I'm wondering what happened with Emma Stone's hair and how Rainn Wilson fixed it.
Product, obviously. You're not supposed to dry brush curly hair, or it'll like get really fucked up. It gets poofy. Like big and poofy and frizzy. Messy.
Okay, so the hairstylist they have for the video doesn't fucking know that. And the only person who can save her is Fish.
Yes.
Okay, movie. All right.
Rockers care about their hair.
Beginning.
Well, I could see that as like something that's like, she was so upset by it and embarrassed that somebody who she didn't know wouldn't be able to help her out. She needed somebody in that instance who was familiar to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you need that. Sometimes you just have a freak out and you're just like,
no, yeah, I need that safety line. Like this moment, if you didn't fucking puke in your pocket and if you didn't chase a van, like you're a T-1000 and yeah. And I'm down for that. That could have been an endearing moment. Quote that I like, because I don't like, but I laughed, but it was awful, is when the new manager, the David Marshall guy. Yes.
I know where you're going.
You know
where
I'm going with this?
I do.
Talking about the mom and he had to spend 9 months inside her.
Yeah.
That was clever, but it was raunchy.
But it was terrible, yes.
But like first time you're meeting somebody, ew.
He also says earlier, you're going to need two dicks. When they're going on tour. Yeah.
High schoolers.
This movie is written by the same people who wrote Monsters vs. Aliens and Trolls World Tour.
Oh, shit.
I'd like to spend 9 months inside of you.
And directed by the same person who directed a movie called The Full Monty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that movie, but I know what that sandwich is, and that was on my that was the sandwich on my death row menu.
Okay. The Full Monty is a movie about British dudes who are like blue collar workers, and they decide to go through and perform a male strip review
to make money.
To make money.
How you do it?
So that was like a long time ago, like when you people didn't talk about male stripping.
Yeah, and it was outrageous because they're getting naked. Like
I think all builds up to the very end, and I think they just throw their underwear and it cuts or something.
Yeah, I don't think they ever show any kind of full frontals, but like it was just so controversial because they were talking about it.
Yeah,
they were talking about the men.
They didn't
stripping.
Do. Remember, like Throwback to Wild Things, that was full frontal male nudity. There's not a lot of full frontal male nudity in movies, unless it's in a Harvey Keitel movie.
Or Ewan McGregor.
Or Ewan McGregor. But that's okay. Ewan McGregor, you do your thing.
Chef's kiss to that man. Okay.
Chef's kiss to that man.
Yes.
With the manager, we had a little body or fat shaming too, where he's like, no, the camera and food adds 10 pounds.
Oh my God. But I thought that was so funny.
And then he says to the girl, I can't remember her name right
Amelia?
Now. Amelia. Yeah. Okay. He says, your body's changing. He's like, that's okay. Your body's changing.
Oh my God. Yeah. He was a creep.
That's such a fucking weird way to say it too. Just like, he's like the person that I would be more concerned about spending time around my children.
Exactly. Yes. He asks you to get into a van late at night and drive across straight state lines. That's the problem. Mr. David Marshall, he was creepy.
Now let's take a break and hear about our sponsor. And now back to the show. The label asks ADD to open a show for Vesuvius honoring their induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Fish refuses to play the gig, and Kim kisses him in a failed attempt to convince him to let go of his anger and finally move on. David sees the kiss and exaggerates the details of the ordeal to Curtis. At a later gig, Curtis announces that they would be playing the show, angering Fish and driving him to leave the band. When the new drummer from the label proves to be lazy, Curtis eventually apologizes to Fish and convinces him to put aside his resentment and play the show.
So something that's kind of happening in here is like, I'm having fun watching the kids realize that they have like fans and fame and like people following them on their tour. Like, I just think it's really like wholesome that they're getting to live out their little dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we just teach people that if you want to live out your dream, you need to crush others.
Yes.
And at first, he's like, okay, we're not going to do this. And then as soon as he gets pissed off, Curtis is like, okay, I'm going to change what I said. We're actually going to do this because it's better for the band. And I totally understand why Fish would not want to open for Vesuvius. Mm-hmm. But I also understand that, like, the opportunity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But doing that on stage.
Yeah. And, like, the other thing that happened in this scene that they never, I don't think they ever talked about, but this is when they were shown the final cut of their music video, their first one. Mm-hmm. And you never see Fish's face. It's like you almost see him and then he's just not there. It's just the kids. And I just think that sucks because like he's in it too.
Yeah, it's ageism. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I should have added that in as a trigger.
Well, and that actually, like being an elder millennial, that's actually something that is pretty triggering because it's a weird thing. Like when I am kind of old, but I don't look kind of old. But am I supposed to dress like I'm like if I wear my hair a certain way, am I trying to be younger than I am? If I don't wear a certain style of clothing, you know, like it's a weird thing being older in this world where everyone always emphasizes how young you are.
Right. Yeah.
And then to add on top of that, well, if you happen to look funny too, you just get erased from society.
I'm sorry. How do we help?
Oh, how do you help me?
Like you and people like in that weird gray zone where you feel like you're being erased and like you don't know what to do.
Oh, I think that I just have to wait. Like I think that they say time heals all and it's just like you take your time with it. Things are gonna happen when they happen.
And like you're gonna be like way older someday and be like, I was young.
I'll be way older one day and think that 37 is young, because 37 is young.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still like you see in movies all of the time when, and even like Hollywood when you showcase, there's always someone younger and more eager, and old people are most often always just kind of put out to pasture.
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, Fish just gets treated like shit in every turn. but then is also like dumb as shit too. So I don't fucking know how to feel about him. I feel sorry on one hand, and then I'm like, well, you're a puke pocket, so.
You're a puke pocket.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I was mad at Curtis when he did that, like, little revenge thing. Because, like, he didn't even talk to Fish or his mom about what happened. Like, hey, you want to tell me about something? Like, anything? Mm-hmm. And he just, you know, did the teenage emotional thing.
You mean almost like they used it for the plot of the film?
Yeah, almost like
took a character who they had given some sort of growth and depth to, and then all of a sudden made them completely pancake flat and do something out of line. It was fucking weird. Like, I'm watching the movie and I'm like, yeah, you did that because you had to. You could have done that differently. Okay, you could have done that in this way instead. And it's just because they wanted to, I don't know, they wanted to entertain you. They wanted to fucking entertain you. And I hope they did to some people.
I'm sure they did to some people.
Oh,
no.
I guess you do have people who you talk to and you trust and they get pissed off. And yeah, it's the kiss of the mom. So that's always something that's worse. So we can understand. But I don't know.
I did think that they were cute while they were playing, like, whatever the equivalent to, like, that Guitar Hero game was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked that. Could have had more of that. Focus less on trying to get Amelia and Curtis to hook up so that everyone has to hook up. Matt has to hook up with somebody.
Yeah.
In order to be happy, you got to hook up.
Not everybody has to hook up to be happy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But look at the movie.
Exactly, yeah.
They hook everybody up.
They did.
Because, like, and like, why? Why do all those things?
Sex,
like,
drugs, rock and roll.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Was there a sex scene in this movie? And were there drugs?
There's a lot of alcohol.
Alcohol.
Is alcohol a drug, really? It's not that dangerous, right? I mean, definitely marijuana is way more dangerous. Oh, sarcasm alert.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Yeah, alcohol is fucking awful. Yeah.
It's pretty terrible.
Pretty terrible. Do you know it kills your body and other people?
It does.
I don't know. But it tastes so... No, wait, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. There's some... Wine is good.
It interacts with, like, literally every medication ever. So... Yay!
Yeah, okay, so a little bit of drugs and rock and roll in this, the rocker movie.
Yeah, so I think that's, like, that's why they did it, like, and that's, like, part of the rock and roll fantasies, like, you know, getting all the people, getting laid.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of if there's anything else that caught my attention here. That was, like, the worst place for Curtis to, like, or, you know, announce that they were opening for Vesuvius, for Fish to be hearing it for the first time, and then to, like, fight in front of your fans about it. Like, yeah. That's some drama.
But to just, yeah, and to just have the fight. Like, it's not realistic. I mean, I guess there are some bands who probably do that shit, but they just kept, on one hand, like your character, feel sorry, hear how real they are. On the other hand, when we want them to, when it serves the purpose of the film, have them display themselves like pieces of shit because the film needs them to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not, like, whatever. By this point, it's like the film's almost over.
Well, I will say a thing that I did like about this section is then you've got the bonding between, like, all of the bandmates and everything, but also specifically between Fish and Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, because Curtis really needs somebody to kind of be in a role like that, and so he's kind of getting that in his life.
Well, like when they were in the car talking, and they took the picture together,
mm-hmm.
and then I guess he felt betrayed by Fish for, and so, like, that Fish broke that bond, and it made him extra angry to act a little bit irrational.
Yeah,
I'm down for it. If the movie didn't also have somebody puking in their pocket.
And, like, I don't know. It's cool to see that Curtis's mom, like, she almost had that future as well. Like, she almost had it big, but then she became a mom and she took really good care of her kids. And now, like, she's making sure that he gets that. So, I don't know. And
I did.
Like,
I really liked her.
And, like, I really appreciated that she stood by Curtis after, you know, Fish got mad. She was like, you know, like, he's my kid. This isn't real. Like, sorry.
Yeah, and even from her stepping up to go on the trip after Fish had gotten in trouble, she was a very supportive parent. And even the other parents that they showed, they were supportive as well. I think that that was a nice change of pace. And something that you would see in today's age where more and more people are recognizing you don't shit on a fucking opportunity.
Yeah.
And so I thought that that was really nice. I did. I like Christina Applegate, and I liked her character in this movie. She just deserved a better movie.
Yeah, as I think the other characters did too. ADD meets Vesuvius before the show and discovers that they have become vain and arrogant. Fish decides to forgive Vesuvius and wishes them good luck. Fish and the band perform to a standing ovation. After their gig, Amelia and Curtis, as well as Fish and Kim, both begin a relationship. During Vesuvius's set, the lead singer's microphone falls off the stand while the voice track of their song continues, revealing that they have been lip-syncing. Vesuvius's recording malfunctions, revealing their lip-syncing to the audience, who boos them off the stage, and then the Hall of Fame rejects them. The audience chants an encore for ADD, who fire David and perform for the crowd once again.
So, when Vesuvius and ADD meet in the tunnel, and we find out Vesuvius has gone British.
Oh my god.
That's the most ridiculous thing, but like a lot of really, that was a thing, like a lot of really good punk and rock bands were coming from Europe to the States for a long time. And
yeah,
they're just trying to make themselves seem more legit.
Yeah, I thought that was funny, a nice way of showing kind of just how much of how big of a prick each one of them actually is.
They're sellouts.
Yeah. And I mean, I like that they had the lip syncing fiasco. I love that they were like, they pulled an Ashley Simpson.
Yeah.
Do you young millennials know about that?
I heard about it.
Yeah. Ashley Simpson famously on SNL. And then she did like this, like, crazy dance thing off the stage. It was, yeah, all over the news.
Yeah, she did like a little jig. Western jig, yeah, sort of thing. Yeah.
I was kind of thinking that maybe the movie would all pull it around and be so much better when there was this awesome shot of the three of Armisen and Cooper and Arnett, and I thought, okay, something's gonna fall on them. Like, they're gonna die. But then I thought, no, because then if they die, they get martyred. And I thought, maybe not. So I'm like, what's gonna fucking happen? And then all of a sudden, he dropped the microphone, and it took me a fucking minute to realize what was going on.
Yeah, it took me a second too, I think.
I was like, oh, I caught it immediately. I was like, oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
I was
like, oh, okay.
There was so another. Like,
right, at least it took them down.
Yes. I feel like there were a couple other artists, like, in the more recent past that's happened to. Like, there was a hip-hop artist, I think, and a rocker, like, a rock and roll artist.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
The most famous lip-sync artist of all time. If you are a millennial, you know the name of these people.
Who?
You younger millennials now?
Do you?
They were so hot.
And then everything crashed.
Yeah.
And you can't blame it on the rain. You blame it on the lip syncing. Have you heard of Milli Vanilli?
No.
No.
Well, that's why.
That's why.
What the fuck kind of a name is that?
Yeah. They were like, they made themselves off to look exactly like twins. They had like a great song, Blame It on the Rain.
They did like dances.
Yeah. Super famous. And then you find out that it's not them singing on their album. Yeah.
And it was the done. End of their career.
Yeah.
So, all the time. So that's famous lip sync that I know.
I don't know if you guys know this, but like to some extent, like there's always a little bit of lip syncing and like, I don't know.
Unless you're Mariah Carey.
But like, usually what happens is they'll play the track either and the musicians like ear ins, or they'll play it like very low along with whatever the band is playing to help like enhance the sound and keep them on track. So sometimes they have tons of magic tricks
and stuff.
Yeah.
But Vesuvius was, they were showcasing that they were fraudulent. They were not cool. But I don't know. It didn't make a lot of sense. Like they could sing, but then they couldn't sing. They lost the ability. Who were they lip syncing to? Was it they were lip syncing to themselves from a long time ago, or they were lip syncing to other people? It didn't fucking matter. It's just the movie was going to be over. We needed to bring them down, and we needed to bring ADD up. But you can't fucking tell me that crowd's going to chant ADD. They're just going to fucking go home.
That's one of those things that's part of the movie that you're just supposed to take with a grain of salt.
I know.
And what else would you do if the main person didn't perform?
I'd go home.
You wouldn't want to stay and have a good time for a little bit?
No.
Most people do.
I'd go home.
Yeah, I mean, you and I wouldn't, no. But most people do when they go to a concert. That's what they want to do.
I'm not going
to
be like, oh, this person I came to see is not performing. Find me someone to perform. No, I'm like, oh, this is done.
I want to get my money's worth for the show.
I wouldn't be like, I'm staying here until you find me someone to play these instruments. Especially on the last band.
Like, on the historic stage that they're on, like, of course people paid, like, top dollar to be there. Like, I'm getting my fucking money's worth. I'm getting more of a show.
Right.
I guess we have to remember that, like, ADD is probably supposed to be comparable to, like, a hot band from today, you know?
Well, yeah. And, like, their music video was that, like, their song and their video was, like, 9th on the charts.
Yeah. So they were supposed to be on the rise, popular.
Hot stuff.
Exactly. So... And it ended nicely for them. He got to take the high road and forgive them and then watch them fall. So I was waiting for more. I was waiting for more of a comeuppance. Like, if he named that band, if he wrote that song, if he named that song, and it doesn't make sense that he never would have gone after anything at all. Like, as soon as he's cut, as soon as they have a deal, why isn't he?
He should have sued.
But then
maybe he didn't have the resources.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, and then also you have to think that the like and the managers and all that were probably going to do everything that they could to make sure that didn't happen in the first place. So
exactly, there was just more questions, but whatever. The movie was getting over, and I was happy.
So, like, with Matchbook Records, like, that name kept, like, sounding familiar to me, and I was like, why? So I looked it up, and it's, like, a record store somewhere in Tennessee, but it's not an actual record label, but there is a Matchbox Records that was hot for a while, and so I think that's what they were getting at.
Do you know who they made hot? Because I know Matchbox 20, but I don't know if they were on Matchbox Records.
There's like, I don't know. I had to pay to find out, and I was not about to do that.
What? That's crazy.
I know.
All right. So the rocker has ended, and we need to snowflake it and recommend it.
Ooh, I have some fun, like, kind of nostalgic catches, I guess. I enjoyed seeing the old, they were burning CDs, taking selfies with a flip phone was an art. It was not easy to take a selfie with a flip phone. The best way to do it was by using a mirror. but not by taking a picture of yourself in the mirror, but like seeing the screen of your phone in the mirror while you were like aiming the lens at you, if that makes sense. At least that's how I did it. In MySpace.
I didn't selfie with my flip phone.
You caught that too, Ashley?
Yes.
Caught what?
MySpace reference.
Okay, yeah.
Band had a MySpace.
MySpace was hot for a second.
Mm-hmm. It was for a second, yeah.
And then there, I can't remember who he is in the movie, but let me see. Mark Leon plays the coach in Letterkenny. He made a quick appearance. That was my last note that I was like, oh yeah, I like that guy. Anyway, right. Snowflakes and Rex.
So where do we take this?
I say two snowflakes.
I said one.
Is it like for social triggers or?
It's like one is like disagreeing with some or with like a couple of the themes, but maybe some triggers.
Yeah, and also the sweat, the throwing up, and the butt scene, like when he's videotaped. That just it kind of took me out a little bit, especially the vomit and the butt scenes. You know, the video.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it for me.
I'm giving this one two, just because, I mean, I didn't find any of these overly, like, intense triggers, but we did have, you know, like, all of the, of course, like I said, the bodily function humor, which I particularly do not like, the fat shaming. We did miss one. We had the Cleveland Indians in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so yeah.
Yeah. And of course, the like the unintentional public nudity / like public humiliation.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I guess yeah. I mean, these things could be triggering to people. I wouldn't say that I was triggered by the movie. I guess I was triggered by it not being a good movie.
Yeah. Oh, forgot the suicide joke is in there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, it's not like. Like, when I say that, like, I'm not going to recommend the movie, it's not because, hey, don't watch this movie because you're going to get offended by it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know that I can give it any snowflakes. I mean, I thought that, like, I'm not grossed out by the puking scene. I'm flabbergasted by the puking scene. Like, if there's a puking scene in a movie, I can deal with it. I mean, I'm not grossed out by the sweat scene. I don't know why it's there like that. I'm confused by this movie, but I'm not. Like, maybe it does trigger me because I'm so confused by it being so bad. I don't know. I zero snowflakes, but no recommend. I think I'm saying that.
Okay. Two snowflakes. I can't say I would recommend this movie, just because it's not my thing.
I would recommend it. It
could have been done better.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I would still recommend it.
I would too.
The It's Lit, the comedians, like the it's just like it's like when you're eating a chocolate chip cookie and you're like, ooh, another melting chunk. When you find like another comedian in this movie, because there's so many of them. I don't know. I think it's
yeah, just but like, it's like they forgot to put they used salt instead of sugar in the chocolate chip cookie.
But like
I, mean, I get like I love the actors. You're absolutely positively right. Such good actors in the movie.
But I think it's I don't like think that weird. They're morsels. Yeah.
I don't think I don't, they're morsely.
I had fun watching it. I think it's weird. There's a lot that doesn't make sense, but that's okay. Because like I'm all for just like a weird escapism like night where I'm just like, fuck the rules of the world and physics and shit. Let's watch a weird movie.
See, I'm at this point in my life where Like, it's an hour and 42 minutes, and, like, we've watched 2 hour and 50-minute movies before. But still, like, if I'm going to recommend a movie to someone, I want to make sure that when you, like, you give that time that you're never going to get back, it's more than just a, oh, well, I guess that was fun afterwards. Like, I really just don't think this movie needs to be seen. Like, there are other movies that you can watch with these actors in it that are so much better than this movie. But, I mean, it's not like it's horrible. It's just, I feel like it'd be a waste of time.
Yeah, this thing, like, there were likable parts to this movie. And it's not like it was horrible or torturous to watch. It's just that, meh.
I knew going into the movie it was going to be difficult.
Yeah.
And I really wish they hadn't have done some of the stuff that they had done, because it made it so much easier to not recommend the movie.
Right.
But I guess I'm just old and snowflaky and I can't get over that stuff.
Yep,
you like are. You youngins, you 95ers.
We're not completely burnt out on this life thing yet.
We'll see what happens. It is always fun to look at, like, as we go back through, I wonder what movies we're going to recommend and what we're not going to recommend. It's totally going to have to deal with our personalities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and like the reasons, like, why. I mean, so people are still going to watch movies whether we recommend them or not. It's just us saying whether we would. And I'm not going to tell anyone to go watch The Rocker. I'm not going to think about it anymore. It's done.
You don't have to justify shit. You're just not gonna.
I'm just not gonna. If you want to watch a Rainn Wilson movie, go watch House of a Thousand Corpses.
Ooh. Or watch The Office.
Well, that's a TV show. I'm talking about movies. If you want to watch a Rainn Wilson movie,
watch Utopia. It is very triggering, though. That show is very fucking triggering. It's good, though.
Yeah, I'd say it still is probably better than The Rocker.
It's more entertaining. It's like, you can't look away.
Okay, I have to find some time. There's too much.
This is the train wreck that you can blink at, and you're like, ooh, that show is, like, scary, and you can't look away in the best way.
And it might let us see Rainn Wilson in a different way. Who knows? Well, all right. Well, that's our conversation on The Rocker.
Now you have to connect it.
You know, I could very easily do Christina Applegate because she's in The Sweetest Thing with Selma Blair, who kisses Sarah Michelle Gellar in Cruel Intentions.
Well, there you go.
Right there. I just felt like that was so cheap.
There you go.
We've done single ones, though, before.
I know. It was just, it felt easy. I didn't understand that it'd be this easy to connect everything to Buffy.
Right.
Now, watch. I keep saying this, and there's going to be one time I will not be able to connect.
Anyways, you can find it posted on Facebook at Millennial Movie Mix.
And keep up with us on Instagram at Millennial Movie Mix Podcast.
And don't forget to join us next Monday when we go over Almost Famous from 2000.
Oh, shit.
That's right. Summer of Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, and Almost Famous has them all. All right, you watch it, and then you come back next Monday, and you click right here. We appreciate it.
Bye.
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 Bye, snowflakes.